Hello, this is your Polycast for Wednesday, October 19th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, the Secretary of State says the Minnesota election will not be rigged, and Minnesota immigrants in the election. The deadline to pre-register to vote before Election Day in Minnesota passed last night. Monday, the state saw a record-breaking 73,478 online voter registrations, shattering the previous one-day record of nearly 27,000 that was set just about a month ago. With Election Day now less than 3 weeks away, our reporter Brian Bax caught up with Secretary of State Steve Simon to ask him what he thinks this surge in voter registration means.
I generally am predicting high turnout. I think a large percentage of those who took the time to register or re-register will actually show up and vote. I say that, it's speculation, but I think we've got a situation this year where at the top of the ticket in the presidential race, we have candidates who inspire very strong feelings. And it's either strong like or strong dislike or both. And I say that not to be a pundit. I say that because it bears on turnout. Intensity drives turnout, and people feel intensely about these two candidates.
Minnesota voters have been able to vote early through absentee balloting and some in-person settings for a few weeks now. What can you say about the level of turnout we've seen there?
Huge, huge turnout, especially as compared to the last presidential election. Now, one thing that makes this year distinct is that we did not have last time in 2012 what we have this year in the way of no excuses absentee voting. So that's probably one of the main drivers of the high level of absentee voting and requests for absentee ballots this year. We are beyond the point now of being double where we were at the same point 4 years ago. We are more than double where we were in terms of absentee ballots requested and returned so far. So that seems to bode well. I think the big question is, are those new voters or are they just existing voters changing the time that they vote? We'll know after Election Day.
There's been a lot of talk this week, especially in the last couple of weeks, about integrity of the election and one candidate, Donald Trump, saying that the election could be rigged. How does that strike you as the top elections official in a state?
I can just tell you, when it comes to Minnesota, our election will not be rigged. And it is almost impossible in Minnesota, on a statewide scope, for an election like President of the United States to rig or fix an election. We have a decentralized system across 87 counties and many hundreds of cities. We have well-trained, nonpartisan election judges, 30,000 of them, in fact. And in terms of technological integrity, if someone thinks something is rigged from the standpoint of cybersecurity or infiltrating somehow election systems, we're in good shape in Minnesota. We still vote on paper ballots, very hard to hack paper. And even the machines into which those ballots are fed on Election Day may not, must not, and shall not be hooked up to the internet during any portion of the tabulating. So we feel that we're in very good shape, both from a cybersecurity standpoint and from just a mechanical standpoint on the ground. Decentralized system, extremely, extremely difficult to fix or to rig.
Are there instances of voter fraud out there? Should people know and be concerned about that?
Well, we've been fortunate in Minnesota that true voter fraud is very, very remote in Minnesota. It's a remote possibility, and it, in fact, doesn't appear very often at all. The last comprehensive study of a Minnesota election was for the 2008 election. County by county, all 87 counties, and there were a total of 38 cases out of 5.3 million people that rose to the level where a prosecutor would take it on. Now, we want that number to be zero, and 38 is 38 too many. But in the end, I think we have a clean state, we have an honest state, and we have elections that people are proud of and that they trust. I think one of the reasons that Minnesota has had such high turnout for so long is that people have a basic, fundamental faith in the fairness and integrity of the system and the many people throughout 87 counties who run it.
That's DFL Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon talking to reporter Brian Baxt. Even though the deadline for pre-registering to vote has passed, you can still register at your polling place on Election Day. Today we're starting a series of stories looking at how issues in the presidential race affect Minnesotans. If there's one issue that's dominated the race so far, it's immigration. The latest state statistics from 2014 show Minnesota had 428,000 foreign-born residents. That's just over 7% of the state's population. And Minnesotans who would be most affected by changes in immigration policy are paying close attention to the opposing proposals coming from Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Tim Pugmire has the story.
Donald Trump ensured immigration would be a prominent campaign issue when he launched his campaign 16 months ago. He made a jarring assessment of immigrants from Mexico.
They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people.
Trump also proposed a remedy that quickly became a centerpiece of his campaign.
I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall.
Trump has called for mass deportations of undocumented immigrants. He also wants tougher rules for handling refugees. At one point, he proposed a temporary ban on Muslims entering the country. Rick Aguilar, a Latino businessman and Trump supporter from St. Paul, said he thinks the Republican nominee initially spoke too broadly and too harshly about immigrants. But he agrees with Trump's concern about border security. Aguilar said Trump critics should keep in mind that there's already a series of walls and fences along parts of the southern border.
You know, people are saying, oh, he's going to build a wall. No. He's going to extend and make it more effective, not build a wall. The wall's already there.
Hillary Clinton has outlined a dramatically different approach to immigration reform.
We're going to end family detention, close private detention facilities, and stop the raids and roundups.
Clinton wants humane enforcement of immigration laws and a pathway to citizenship. She also supports President Obama's recent executive order attempts to protect undocumented parents and their children from deportation. At a recent gathering of Clinton supporters in Minneapolis, Jose Gonzalez of St. Paul said he agrees with the Democratic nominee's approach. Gonzalez, who was born in Mexico and became a U.S. citizen 30 years ago, said the pathway needs to be affordable and accessible.
If you don't have a criminal record, you've been paying taxes for the last 20 years, you've been doing other things in the community, I think you should be able to put in an application for citizenship, even though maybe the way you got here wasn't following the correct process.
About half of the state's foreign-born residents are naturalized U.S. citizens. The latest data from the Pew Research Center show there are an estimated 95,000 undocumented immigrants in Minnesota. John Keller, executive director of the Immigrant Law Center of Minnesota, says a broad coalition of the state's business, labor, and faith groups has been working to help those immigrants and to improve federal immigration policy.
We need immigrants for a stronger state and country when people have legal status and have a way to earn that legal status, to come forward and, you know, go through background checks and affirmatively apply to be allowed to sink down roots here.
Keller said there are still many misconceptions about immigrants in Minnesota. He said one persistent myth is that they come here for public benefits. Another is that they're strictly low-skill laborers.
You certainly do have a number of people who are working in entry-level work and hard work and often in two or three jobs. But you also have a very significant number of immigrants who arrive with excellent education or who, once in the U.S., do a great job of improving on the education they came here with.
A state-by-state study released this year by the Partnership for the New American Economy showed Minnesota immigrants earned $12.2 billion in 2014 and paid $3.1 billion in taxes. In addition to economic contributions, the study highlighted immigrants' potential voting impact. Minnesota had 202,000 foreign-born residents who were eligible to vote in 2014. And that number, like the immigrant population as a whole, keeps growing.
So will you new citizens please stand, raise your right hands, and repeat after me. I solemnly swear.
65 people from 32 countries recently packed a federal courtroom in St. Paul to be sworn in as naturalized U.S. citizens. Judge Hildy Beaubier administered the Oath of Allegiance. Citizenship brings the right to vote. Victoria Saldana, an immigrant from Mexico, has lived in the U.S. since 1995. Saldana would not say who she plans to vote for, but she stressed that she specifically pursued citizenship to vote in this year's presidential election.
I think voting is very important, especially for this debate that we're having. And I think it's very important on this one, especially on this one, to vote. So, yes, vote.
Another new American, Lula Sala, said she plans to vote too, but she hadn't decided who to vote for. Sala is of Eritrean and Ethiopian heritage who was born and raised in Saudi Arabia. She said immigration and race and religious tolerance are among the issues she's thinking about when considering the candidates.
One is super anti-immigrant, but one has kind of been weak on racial justice policy. So I'm conflicted. So that's all I'll say about that.
Dan Ali, a new citizen from Ghana, said he's planning to vote, but he said immigration is not his top issue.
The economy, yes, that's key. That's what I'm looking at, the economy. Every other thing, as important as it may be, for me, that is a little secondary.
Volunteers from the League of Women Voters Minnesota are on hand at every naturalization ceremony to help the new Americans register to vote. Judy Stuthman has been attending the ceremonies for nearly 20 years. She said the registration numbers are way up this year.
And we do have a lot of refugees in our immigrant community. And for a lot of them, they've not had the possibility of voting before. So then it becomes something that they can get very passionate about.
The league's running tally from naturalization ceremonies this year is 7,385 voter registrations. Voter registrations overall in Minnesota have also hit a new pre-election high. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The Edina City Council says it wants to listen to and address concerns brought up in a video of a police officer interacting with a black man. During a council meeting last night, dozens of people talked about what they consider broader racial bias in policing. Peter Cox was at the meeting and filed this story.
Last night's city council meeting, like most, started with public comments. But this was the first council meeting since Larney Thomas, a 34-year-old African-American man, was grabbed by a white Edina police lieutenant for walking in the street. Part of the incident was videotaped and has since been viewed more than a half million times. It shows the officer holding Thomas by the jacket and shirt, and an aggravated Thomas trying to shrug out of the grasp as he asks why he's being detained and swearing at the officer. Thomas was later cited. The citation was dismissed a few days later. Edina Mayor Jim Hovland opened the meeting.
We're here tonight to listen. And it would normally be in the context of a public hearing we'd have people speak. But tonight we thought because of this incident that occurred last Friday, that has all of us, I think, so concerned, we wanted to visit with you.
The hearing lasted more than 3 hours with dozens of speakers. Some asked for Lieutenant Tim Olson to be suspended or fired. Others wanted the city to take another look at police protocol. Minneapolis NAACP President Nakima Levy-Pounds said her organization brought up a number of issues, including adding more training for officers.
We were glad to see that you all responded, but it is hard to see the response as being more than lip service, especially because you all have refused to apologize and acknowledge the wrongdoing and the harm that was done to Mr. Larney Thomas.
The city asked the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension to review the incident, but the BCA declined. Levy-Pounds requested that a third party from outside of Minnesota step in. Edina resident Catherine Bass made a plea to the council to use this opportunity to look at issues of racial bias in policing.
Plenty of young men of color live in this community, wear hoodies and backpacks, and move themselves around on their own power. My 14-year-old nephew is one of them. He's been stopped by the police riding his bike in this community, the only city he has ever lived in. He's afraid to interact with Edina police. Is this the best we can do?
Bass complained that the initial report from the city noted that Thomas had alcohol on his breath, but she pointed out that the report says alcohol was not a factor in the outcome of the case. The police chief was present but did not comment during the public hearing. Gabe Adderholt, who also lives in Edina, says he worries when he sees police in his city. He feels unsafe walking outside after dark because he fears he might be stopped by police.
I hear the sirens in my community and know that while others may think they're headed to make a situation better, I'm worried that it might get worse.
Councilmember Bob Stewart called the video disturbing and wrong.
I hope it does not represent what we are about here in Edina. But as has been said, we can do better. For my part, I will say to Larney Thomas, I'm sorry that you were treated very well.
Mayor Hovland says he plans to meet with Thomas. The city collected contact information from people interested in a group to help address issues brought up in the video. Peter Cox, Minnesota Public Radio News, Edina.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.